And good morning, everyone. We are coming at you live this morning, and I am here with you, so we did not pre-record this, so I hope that this is okay. I wish everyone safety and just that you would be warm in your home and not be out in the dangerous weather. So we braved it for you because we love you, Hope Church. I want to take a minute. I was thinking about this as I was on the stage, and I normally wouldn't do this, but because I'm normally on with you and I've kind of done something, I guess, I want to hop on real quick, and I want to acknowledge that you are here with us, if I could. And just say hi to you directly if you're watching us live. I want to see. It looks like Robin is on. It looks like a number of us are online. And I see Tina. I see Pam. I see Kathleen. Garnett. Good morning, everyone that is joining us online. And feel free to post a comment and say hi to us. And we're just so happy you are here with us this morning. Before I jump into the word today in our second week of Joy Unspeakable, and we're talking about peace today, I wanted to make sure that you saw some of our updates from last time, that we will indeed have a Mission Sunday this month, as well as the other thing I wanted to call out is you can give online, and they should have some slides on that. And then I also wanted to make sure that you fill out a connection card. I do have a digital version. If you'll send us a Facebook message, I'll get you the digital version, and we'll get all of our church directory and everything updated so that you can get in contact with everybody. But please know that you can give online. It should be on your screen right now. You can text, you can mail it in, or you can do it directly online in whatever method that you choose there. So I wanted to make sure you knew that. And then last up is this Christmas Eve, the 24th. We will have a candlelight service here at Hope Church at 6:30. It's only going to go for about an hour. It's going to be come and go. We will have communion. We'll have social distancing in place, and we'll be able to join you in prayer and just have some Christmas music going on so that you can come and go. But I also know it's a busy day, so don't feel obligated. We love you. We know that you love us. We just wanted to do that for those that would like to do that and join us that day. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. I've got a couple people in the room, and I just thank them so much. So if you would, on comments, so they can read it later, would you give Stephen and his wife Christina, Jeremy and Candace, and Zeke is here this morning. So would you guys just tell them how thankful you are that they made this happen, that they braved this nasty, nasty weather so that we could be together as one church, okay? I want them to read that later in the comments. So with that said, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue our study. Lord Jesus, I love you so much. And I thank you for the technology to be able to be with Hope Church, to be with this people, and to study your word together. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this body, how you're growing us, how you're developing us step by step, lesson by lesson. We are learning, and we are learning by your hand, and Lord, there is nothing better. So God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon me right now, that I would be able to deliver your word concise and clear, and Lord, that it would just penetrate the hearts of those that are listening now and later as they listen to it throughout the week. God, we need your peace, and peace only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on your people as they listen to this word today. And once again, Lord, be with us. Help everyone stay safe, and let us see each other again real, real soon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, Hope Church, and I'm still seeing people online. Thank you so much for all the comments there. I'll try not to be too distracted. I might go ahead and mute that and turn that off so I don't distract myself. But thank you so much for joining us today on this cold, Christmassy-like day. I hope these Christmas songs blessed you and the hymns blessed you. It was such a joy to sing those with you. And I know that you guys were belting it out. I know it. So this morning, we're going to continue our Joy Unspeakable series, and the message today is called Peace Like a River. So as I was preparing for joy unspeakable, and that phrase, joy unspeakable, and made me think of the scripture, obviously, and the song, joy unspeakable, full of glory, a similar phrase that came to mind, and that was peace that passes, or some versions say surpasses, all understanding. Peace that is so overwhelming, you just can't explain it. You can't understand it. You can't force it to happen. That's what we're talking about today. And of course, with our title, you know that I thought about a song as well, Peace Like a River. And we're going to have a chance to talk about that in a minute. So this peace that passes all understanding, this comes from Philippians 4. And in its context, Paul has encouraged us, there it is, to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, I'm going to say it again, y'all, rejoice. So I might or might not have taken some things the way that Paul communicates there, because I can just see it, right? I'm going to say it again, rejoice. Can somebody say rejoice in the comments? Encourage our soul. Encourage everyone around us to rejoice in the Lord always. No anxiety, no worry as we come before the Lord. In him and our relationship with him, we can make our requests known with confidence that he already knows what we need, and it's his joy to take care of us. Do you believe that today? I hope you do. So here's what it says in Philippians 4:7, and I'm reading in the English Standard Version, ESV. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That peace that passes all understanding does what now? It guards our hearts and our minds. So that's why we can not have anxiety, not have worry, not have all these external factors come in and just mess us all up. His peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds. Can you say amen? Now, this is cross-referenced. If you look at your Bible, mine says John 14:27. We're going to get into that below, but let's continue. So this is the kind of peace that we are studying today, that peace that passes all understanding. Now, I want to be clear, and I want you to hear me there. I may even say it twice. But this kind of peace, the peace that we're talking about, only comes from the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and our union with him. So when Jesus is talking through John 14 and 15, he's talking about unity. He's talking about how when we accept him, when we allow him to come into our hearts, we are now in him and he's in us, just as he is in the Father. And he says, don't worry about anything. I'm going to send the counselor, the comforter. And you know, we make a joke around here at Hope Church. We're not talking about a warm, fuzzy blanket, although that probably sounds real nice right now. We're not talking about Nana's hugs, although that sounds nice about right now, right? And we're not talking about a warm pot of soup. All those things are cool, but they don't compare at all to the Holy Spirit. So we are talking about the person of the Godhead, person of the Trinity, the third part, the Holy Spirit of God. That's who we're talking about. He's the one that'll bring this peace as we come into union with him, okay? And I learned something here, and I'm gonna teach us something today. I hope maybe this is new to you. You haven't heard it before. It blessed me, so I pray that it blesses you. But here's what I heard as I started studying this. He said, harvest of love. So my first point, my first topic here is a harvest of love. Peace will produce a harvest of love. So in John 15:5, New Living, it says, yes, this is Jesus talking. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain, you're staying there, you're not leaving, you're not going nowhere, remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As we remain in Jesus, we produce fruit. When you're not in Jesus, you're not producing fruit, y'all. That's what he's saying here, and I hope you can hear that today. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So then, it obviously took me back to one of our key scriptures that we're using for our study, and that's found in Galatians 5:22-23. And this time, I want to read it in the Passion Translation, because this is where it just started to come alive. So check out what the translator says here. He says, but the fruit, and there's a little bubble there that we're going to read, but the fruit of the Spirit... But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Divine love in all its varied expressions. So listen to this. Listen to the way this translation says it. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. What now? We actually have to be kind, do things, you know? Come on now. And a life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Oh, I like this one. Gentleness of heart. And last, strength of spirit. Now, you guys may be saying, hold on, that's not how I memorized it, Pastor. What's going on here? And I want to unpack this for you, but the last phrase here, it says, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Does that sound like the Holy Spirit to you today? I think it does to me. So let's check out what it says here. So NJ for the fruit, harvest. The Holy Spirit's producing a harvest in us. And then, okay, then we have K. There, so listen to what it says. I've got a lot for you here. They're in our notes online. We'll share it out afterwards in case you want to write anything down and do more of a word study. But just listen to some of these things that it has here on these words. So K is that phrase at the top that says, the fruit of the Spirit, the harvest produced by the Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. The K there says, there is clear textual inference that the fruit, singular, get this, of the Holy Spirit is love. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. What did Paul say when he was talking about faith, hope, love? But the greatest of these is love. I was waiting for my room. I was waiting for the folks in the room, guys. They failed me. Hopefully you online said love. The fruit of the Spirit, the harvest of the Holy Spirit is love. And the other, listen to this, with the other virtues displaying aspects of the greatest quality of spirit life, agape, or unconditional love. How cool is that, right? Okay, so let's look at the next one. So it says joy that overflows. L, we studied joy last week. It says the translator has chosen to supply action to these virtues because they are not meant to be abstract virtues, but made visible with actions. I hope that got an amen from somebody, that your life, your union with the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to put these to action, okay? So the Greek word for patience is taken from a verb that means ever tapping or never quitting. Come on now. B, the Aramaic word for the B here is kindness, is sweetness. Adds a new dynamic to it, right? Okay, our C is on a life full of virtue. That says goodness, a life full of goodness. And then D is as it relates to strength of spirit. A lot of people say self-control, but check this out. I didn't know this, but I studied it this time. It says, although the word self is not found in this verse, most translations render this as self-control. But get this, this was so powerful. The word is actually lordship. What does that mean? That means we have Jesus leading us and guiding us as a shepherd, right? The lordship of Christ, or it says by implication, spirit strength. Who's leading you today? Last one says E, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. E says, literally, there is no law set against these things, or, and I like this, check this out, because he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but that I might fulfill it. So it says, it actually means literally, there's no conflict with Jewish laws. Nothing that Jesus has said here should cause anybody to go nuts and like, hold on, he's saying something weird, guys. I don't know if we should trust him. He's basically saying all this stuff, no conflict. Love is the greatest. So here's my first question for you. I know that was a lot. I hope you're still with me. If you're still with me, post in the chat. Just like, still here, you know. But the first question I have for you is, do you experience this harvest of love in your life today? I hope the answer is yes. But even more so, if the answer is no, I hope that you want to experience that harvest of love, okay? So next point. With the Holy Spirit, with his power, with that harvest, we can experience peace in our heart, mind, and with God. Let me show you what this says. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 4:8 in the New Living says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Now, if you guys know me, or you've been around Christy for any bit of time, she likes to tattle on me a little bit. Guys, when I lay my head down, I'm out. I'm just completely at peace in the Lord, and I rest, y'all. Like, it is just so beautiful. So maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. You can just lay your head on that pillow or wherever you're at in the chair. I'm going to do a shout-out to Dad, because Dad, man, we kick on a movie. He's in the nice chair. He's out, okay? So I must have got it from Dad. But we know what it talks about when you have that peaceful sleep come upon you. It's refreshing, and it restores your soul. And guys, I'll even say this. When I don't get that kind of sleep, that there's a point in my week that the Lord's just like, nope, you're going to get that kind of sleep. And I just zonk out, and, you know, everybody's like, where'd Dad go? sleep. You know, so the Lord knows what we need. And it brought me to another psalm. So check this out. In Psalm 23, 1 through 3 in the English Standard, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." There's something about seeing the nice green countryside, right? Come on now. "And he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So when we're in union with the Holy Spirit, when we have his power upon us, guys, we don't just receive peace. We receive his peace. His word tells us that, and we talked about it last week. We receive the peace, the same peace that Jesus carried throughout the entire time he was here on the earth. And we mentioned last time, not only that, we are loved with the same love that the Father has for Jesus. Like, this should make us just go nuts right now, okay? So Jesus tells us that we can truly rest as we are in union with him, because we will experience the same type of peace he experienced. So that should get somebody to shout. Like, we get to take up this yoke that's easy and light, and we can shout for joy. Like, it's not burdensome, it's not hard, it's easy, and we can enjoy going through it with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we got some feedback in the room, y'all. All right, so John 14, 27, he says, "I leave the gift of peace with you." Now, what does he say? My peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Guys, I don't know anybody else but Jesus that's got perfect peace, and he's the one giving it. So don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. So here's my next question for you. Have you entered into this type of rest? Did you know that Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, will allow you to have this type of rest while you're still on the earth? I hope you know that today. I hope that you haven't felt like that is escaping us and it's only for us on the other side in heaven. It is available for us here when we are in union with him. Jesus walked around, and I feel, guys, Jesus was so good at the power nap. Have you heard about the power nap where some dads can just be doing like regular tasks and they're just napping it out and you never would have known? Like, I think Jesus probably was the best at that. And dads that understand that, just give me an amen in the comments. I know what you're talking about, okay? So here's our next point. When we are in unity with the Holy Spirit, we will have peace that perseveres through trouble. And not only that, I believe that it's magnified in trouble. And that may not excite you, but let me give you some examples of some men that experienced this. So we think about Job, and Tina Willis shared something on Job, so it got me reading Job. Thank you, Tina. And Job was a man who loved God, and historians talk about how he was well before Mosaic law and all of that, and the priests and Levites and all that. And he loved the Lord, and the devil said, "Well, I'd love you too, but if you release your protection from him, we'll see how much he loves you," right? So he said, "Okay, cool, test my servant Job." He released his protection, and the enemy brought calamity and destruction and death upon everything that Job had. And Job had a reason to not have peace, y'all. Like, he lost everything. But listen to Job's response. Job 1, 21, he said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." And I don't know if you know this, but the song we sing, "Blessed be the name," there it is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and you take away. And so Job had reached a point in his life where his peace wasn't dependent upon the things that he had. It was on the one who blessed him with it. He saw the giver, not the gift. And in doing that, he was one of the few that did not sin in that whole discourse in the book of Job. And God returned to him double of what he had. But that statement happened before that. How cool is that? The next guy that I come to mind, and we studied this in our youth area and children's area here recently, and that's found in Genesis, and it's Joseph. So Joseph had these dreams that the Lord gave him about how he would be ruler over his family. And Joseph didn't quite have that tact yet to be able to tell everybody about that without seeming like a brat. So they're like, "Oh, you're going to rule over us." They sold him into slavery to Egypt. And he went through a series of difficult events. So he served one master, and then they thought bad things about him, threw him into prison. Then the Lord blessed him there, and then he eventually became second in all of the nation, just under Pharaoh, and God used him to deliver his people. So listen to Joseph's response. He sees his brothers for the first time in years. He says in Genesis 50:20, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Listen to this, the saving of many lives. He didn't say, "God blessed me and made me a leader. How cool is this? I told y'all." No, he said, God knew what he was doing. And I believe he counted it joy to get to be part of God's master plan, the saving of many lives. All right, and then I got one more for you. So we have Paul, who used to be Saul, but the Lord gave him a new name, and his name was Paul. And we studied this Wednesday, which was a joy, that Paul's new name meant little one or insignificant one. God showed Paul how to have humility, and Paul was stoned to the point of death, and they got up and went back into the town and started preaching again, y'all. Like, come on now. Like, he saw the Lord, and he got the call of the Lord, and he was not going to be done until the Lord took him home. He was thrown in prison, and much of the New Testament is written from being in prison, okay? And listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4:12-13. He says, "I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance, for I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ," listen to this, I like the way this one words it, "and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Christ's explosive power infuses you, right? So he's saying, it doesn't matter. I've been through it all. And with Jesus, everything was possible because he infused me with that power to conquer every difficulty. Like, if these guys can have that joy, can you? Like, can we step into joy and peace this morning like these men? Another portion of scripture, and I'm not going to read it for you, the full scripture this way, but I'm going to give it to you for your notes, but it's found in Hebrews 12:12-14, and the word there says that we would strive for peace. It's the Greek word dioko, and I want to give you some examples because it's a really strong word, and it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing that we kind of word it. So here's what one author said. He said, "The dove is a nearly universal symbol for peace, as well as the Holy Spirit, and a very appropriate one. Doves are beautiful, gentle, faithful creatures. They're also, well, flighty creatures. It doesn't take much to send a dove fluttering away. A harsh word, a rash gesture, and off she goes. If you want a dove to stay around, you have to be very careful how you speak and act." Can you hear that today from the perspective of the Holy Spirit and how we are to be gentle with him and to listen to his voice and how he's using that still small voice for us today? But he won't fight you. Like, if you're loud and boisterous and you got your own thing going on, he's not going to fight you. Can you hear that today? Gentleness. So he says, which is a lot like what it takes to be at peace with other people. That should get some amens. It's hard, y'all. Sometimes it's really hard. So he says, the author of Hebrews tells us to strive for peace with everyone. That's Hebrews 12:14. His implication, peace, real, honest peace, not dysfunctional conflict avoidance, is hard to keep. How hard? Well, pursuing peace fits into the list of hard things that the author groups around this statement. He said, it's hard, like lifting drooping hands and strengthening weak knees when you're tired and discouraged, verse 12. It's hard, like continuing to walk when your leg is injured, verse 13. It's hard, like living in a holiness that evidences the reality of your faith, even though your indwelling sin continually tries to derail you into unholy passions. And that's verse 14. Like, we know that we're not perfect. There's no confusion about that. So we have this striving, this battling going on between our spirit man and our physical man. And then he says, it's hard, like not allowing the constant barrage of deceitful sin to harden our hearts and lead us away from God into apostasy. which is that what the writer means by being defiled by a root of bitterness. So I have a question for you. Out of all of this, when you are persecuted, what is your heart response? Remember, out of the treasure, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is your heart response? Is it kindness? Is it joy? Is it the fruit or the action fruit of the Holy Spirit? What is it? And this made me think of a story, and you guys who have watched any of our Chosen videos that we've shared or the show itself, you know that one of their phrases they put on their t-shirts is binge Jesus. The idea that most people will take a Netflix show or series or multiple seasons and they'll watch it in all one sitting. Guys, I'm not kidding. They do. I don't know what they do about bathroom breaks or any of that, but they literally sit there and watch all of these shows back to back to back to back to back. That's called binging a show. So they put on this shirt, these hoodies, these t-shirts, whatever, these beanies, all that, hats, all that stuff. It says binge Jesus. So this girl posted on their wall and they reshared it. And she said, so I had a long day's work. I was tired. I was cranky. Got all the kids. They're tired. They're cranky. Got the husband in the car. He's tired. He's cranky. All the moms said amen, right? And I guess they went to a convenience store to grab something, a necessity, something they needed. I don't know what the weather was like, but maybe it was an emergency. And nonetheless, all that buildup kind of has you done, right? You're just done. And she walks into this grocery store, and between the lines, between the cash registers being down, between all the issues with what form of payment they'll take, she's just like, I was not living like Jesus. And the whole goal of buying a shirt was to point people to Jesus. And she said it didn't hit her until I got to the line. I was almost there. And this elderly couple was trying to get my attention, and you know, they said a kind word, and she said, the moment the man and woman glanced down at my shirt and read what it says, she said the Holy Spirit pricked me and was like, are you living for me right now? Is your attitude, is what you're doing conveying this message? And she said, guys, I had no idea. My goal was to wear this shirt so that other people would want to live like Jesus. And she said, that shirt got me thinking, I'm not living like Jesus. Lord, help me. So I say that to say, when you are persecuted, when you are experiencing trials, when you are done, when you've had enough of the day, when you've had enough of 2020, come on, y'all, are you coming from a heart response that says, I'm a little Christ. I've got Jesus in me. I'm doing what he would do. I'm loving like he would love. Are you responding that way, or are you responding another way? And now this isn't to shame you. This is to cause you to repent like she did and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to always be about your business. Help me to always just have that mind of Christ, because his is the only mind that can get through it when we've had days and years like that, okay? Now I get to my last point, and that point is where we get our title of our message today, and it's peace like a river. When we are in unity with the Holy Spirit, we can have peace that flows in us and through us like a river. It's gentle. It ebbs and flows, right? Like we just have that certainty that he's here, peace like a river. So as I was preparing the message, I thought of that phrase, and it led me to the song, as you know, It Is Well by Horatio Spafford. This is such a powerful story, and I think it encapsulates a lot of what we're talking about here. So if you're not familiar with it, we're going to play it for you right now. Would you join us?
It all starts with a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. In the late 1860s, Horatio lived in Chicago with his wife Anna and their five children. A successful attorney, businessman, and devout Christian, Horatio had acquired substantial real estate investments that brought his family prosperity. However, starting in 1870, the Spaffords would begin to face trials they had never before experienced. Later that year, at the tender age of just 4 years old, Horatio and Anna's only son contracted and died from scarlet fever. And to make matters worse, relatively soon after, the Spafford family lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. After facing these devastating losses, thinking a vacation would do their family some good, Horatio and Anna decided to set sail for England. However, at the last minute, Horatio needed to stay behind to finish some pressing business at home, and so planned to meet up with the family shortly thereafter. Unfortunately, the trip to England would not turn out to be the much-needed reprieve Anna and Horatio had sought. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk in only 12 minutes. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all four of Horatio and Anna's precious daughters. Anna survived the tragedy, and upon arriving in England, she sent a desperate telegram to her husband that began, "Saved, alone. What shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England to reunite with the bereaved Anna. The captain of Horatio's ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio when they passed over the approximate spot where the shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio thought about his daughters resting some 3 miles below on the ocean floor, it was words of comfort and hope, not despair, that filled his heart and mind. He wrote them down. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Weeks earlier, Anna had experienced a similar awakening. After regaining consciousness and finding that her four daughters had died, she simply desired to throw herself back into the sea. What could life possibly hold for her after losing her children? But then it was as if she heard a voice in her mind. "You are saved for a purpose, Anna. You have a work to do." Horatio and Anna had every reason to abandon faith in the face of the most heart-wrenching trials imaginable. Instead, they went on to bless and do much good in the lives of others.
It is well. with my soul. Well with my soul. Well with my soul.
Amen. God, you are so good. That even in the pain, even in the sorrow, even in the hurt, even in loss, it can be well with our souls. I hope this story blessed you. I know every time I see it, every time I hear the song, I think about how great a loss, how great a burden they must have felt. And like Anna, I too would have, God, what do I do? And how powerful is it that he says, I saved you for a purpose. I'm not done with you yet. And I, guys, I mean, with a normal voice, someone normally telling you that, you'd be like, man, you don't get it. But with God telling you that, there's that calm assurance, that peace, that overwhelming power, like Paul talked about, in our union with Christ that would allow us to press on. It doesn't always take the pain away, but I believe in Jesus it can with time. But knowing that we will see our loved ones again, I think is what gives us that greater, that more overwhelming hope that he's not done with my story, but we will be together again in paradise, in glory, okay? So I wanted you to know that Jesus said that we would experience all the same persecution, all the same trouble that he did, and more, because we are his. I wanted to say that it's clear in history, as well as our recent history, that the world attacks what it does not understand. And Jesus told us that we are not of this world. It's our commission from Christ that we are to go into the world and we are to tell them the good news of Jesus, so that the joy unspeakable, the peace that passes all understanding, the sovereign love that we've all yearned and searched for is found in union with Christ alone. He died so that we would accept his forgiveness and be drawn close to him. So, whatever you may have experienced in your life, hear his voice today. He has saved you for a purpose. Are you ready to accept this free gift today? So if you don't know Jesus, now's the time. Don't wait any longer. I want to pray a prayer with you, and we are going to join with you. You might not hear everybody, but we're going to pray this together. So would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in need of a Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and I accept the Lordship of Christ in my life. Teach me your ways. Guide me along your path. Let me do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, the smile, we're excited for you. It says the angels in heaven are rejoicing with each and every one of us. So we are so excited today. If you don't have a home church that you can say, this is mine, this is the body, this is the family that I'm a part of, I pray that you consider Hope Church, whether it be digitally like this or in person. I hope you would consider us your home, your church family here on earth. And we want to equip you as Jesus commanded us and help you live out that life in union with him. So I pray that you would join us, send us a message, send us a connect card with your information so that we can reach out to you. We want to make sure you have a Bible, that you have a journal, that you can write down all the thoughts and things that Jesus is speaking to your heart as you serve him. So guys, with that said, this is the end of our service. I pray that you stay safe. I pray that you stay warm, and I pray that you are blessed in Jesus' name, and we'll see you soon. All right, guys. Love you. Bye-bye.